Remain standing and we'll read the Word of God together tonight out of your King James 1611 Bible. I'm going to try to bring the thought that I feel like the Lord would have us to preach on this evening, in this hour, in God's house. Good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? David said, he was glad when they said unto him, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we all ought to be glad and of a merry heart, a joyful spirit, when we can go to God's house. Spend time with the Lord, with the family of God. Amen. And we can spend time with the Lord alone about any time we want to. But we don't always get the opportunity to fellowship with God's people. And that's a real blessing when we come to church and be around the people of God. I want to ask you to turn your Bible tonight to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter and chapter number 2. I want to pick up on verse 1, but I want to pick up on the thought out of the following verses where we left off the last time we were here. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Bible said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's bow our heads and hearts together and ask the Lord to help us in the service. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be back in church, to be in the house of God. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, for Your love for us, for the cross upon which You died, for the life that was given there as a sacrifice for our sins. I'm so thankful that You laid Your life down voluntarily. No man took it from You. You laid it down. You had the power to take it up again, and You did so. We rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord. We're thankful tonight, Lord, for the privilege of preaching this portion of Scripture. And I pray that You'll bless Your people as we go down through the text tonight. May God's people be blessed and stirred in their heart. I pray that sinners will be convicted and converted. I pray, Lord, that Your name would be magnified. I pray for divine help. Without You, I can do nothing. So I pray for the help of God, the power of God. I pray the Spirit of God would fill me and use me and bless me tonight as only God can. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated, okay? I want to read for our text verse tonight out of verse number 5, if I may, and try to pull a thought out of that verse and bring the message that God's laid on my heart for tonight. Peter said there, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice the phrase there, he said that you and I are also lively stones. and are built up a spiritual house. And I want to try to take that thought, if I may, and the verses around this particular, other verses around this verse, and preach for a little while tonight on the thought of God's spiritual house. God's spiritual house. Peter said there that you and I also are lively stones, and God is using us to build up a spiritual house. Now, as Peter penned these words in this particular verse, I can't help but to believe that he was making reference, in it, at least in his mind, to the temple that Solomon built. I say that because of chapter number 5 and verse 7 in 1 Kings, where it makes reference there to Solomon building that temple. If you remember correctly in the Word of God, It was Solomon's father David that collected all the material for the temple, but it was his son that built the house. And you know, David could not build the temple he wanted to. He wanted to build a house for God. But the Bible said that he could not do that because he had bloody hands. You know, that tells me that there are some things that are limited in some people's lives for them to do. God told David, you cannot build my house because you're a bloody man. You've fought many wars. You've got bloody hands, and therefore you're not allowed to build my house. But he said, the son that will come out of your loins will build that house. And of course, Solomon was born unto David, took the material that David gathered and began building Solomon's temple. Now, I say that Peter had that in reference here because of this verse in chapter 5 and verse 7 of 1 Kings. He said, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone. And Peter says here, you also are lively stone. He said, this house, it was built of stone, made ready before it was brought hither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. Let me just pause and say right there, there was no noise in the house while it was being built. Now, I'm not minimizing, please don't misunderstand, I'm not minimizing praising the Lord. We are to do that. You know Brother Hall better than that. But I think what the verse is saying is that God's house is not built upon a bunch of hoopla. There's a lot of folks that's got the idea that God's house can be built on a lot of hymn sings and bringing in special singers and having horse rides and this and that in the house of God to build it up. But it's not so. It's not so. God does not build a church that way. God builds a church on preaching of the Word of God and people being obedient to what they hear preached and what the Bible teaches them, going out and winning people to God and bringing them in the church that they may also serve God likewise. So the church is not built with a great deal of hoopla. Now, as I've already said, the temple was built of stones. But God's spiritual house is built of lively or living stone. Now, let me say here also that Peter's first encounter with the Lord, I believe, made an indelible imprint upon his heart. For he was surnamed Peter. He was surnamed Cephas, which by interpretation is called a stone. And Peter said that the church is going to be built with living stones, with lively stones. And no doubt he had in thought here that the Lord is the living stone. And he gives life to you and I who are lively stones. May I say that it is Jesus that gives life to the house, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God, that's why I am so picky on having the presence of God in the church. Because it is Christ, it is the presence of Christ, it is the presence of Christ that gives life to the house of God. Now you wonder sometimes while our services are low in spirit. I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus is not around a great deal. But I'll tell you, you can get it noised abroad that Jesus is in the house, I'll assure you that He'll do something in the house Somebody say amen right there. And it's Him that gives life to the house. You know what makes an old sinner saved with the grace of God? Lift up their hand and say amen. I'm going to tell you why. Because they got Jesus living in the house. Amen. What makes an old saint run tears out of their eyes and down across their cheeks and smile at the same time is because Jesus is in the house. I'm simply saying there is life in the house when Jesus is in the house. You know what makes the choir sing with the joy bells of heaven in their soul? Because Jesus is in the house. It is He that gives life to the house and not man. It's He that gives life to the preacher and not man. God help us. I always pray that God fill me with the Holy Ghost. I've got enough sense to realize that it's God that gives life to the preaching of the Word of God. Now I'm telling you, nobody likes dull preaching. If you do, you need to go uptown to the first church and be done with it. I don't care. Amen. I don't care for dead, dry preaching. I like to see a preacher get a little bit stirred up and have a little bit of something to say, and especially something to be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I learned a long time ago, if you brag on Him long enough, He'll show up. Amen. And He'll put a little life in the service. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of you would leave here feeling a whole lot better if we had just a little more life in the house of God than what we do. You can say amen right there now. And so it's that living stone that gives life, or puts life in the house. And He does that. It does that by transforming sinners into saints. He's building this lively house by transforming sinners into saints and thus building a spiritual house. Now, I've just got three little points and I want to get right into them and mention them very quickly. Three things about this spiritual house Peter is referring here to. I want to mention, first of all, the structure of the house. That is the unique way in which this house is built. May I say to you tonight, without any apology, that there is no other house like God's house. There, you can search this world over and you'll find no house like God's house. It's the only house I know that He's put His name upon. Amen. It's God's house. I agree with what Brother Matthias said the other day down at his ladies' meeting. He said the only difference between some of the ragheads and the masons is they wear the diaper in a different place. And how true that is. You can say amen right there, can't you? Now, what I'm saying is it's a unique house. It's not God's house is not the Masonic Lodge. Amen. We're not Masons around here. God's house is not the White House. I'm going to tell you, I would rather tonight be in God's house, right here where I'm at, than I would be tonight in the White House. Somebody say amen right there. Now, people would take me to task for saying that, but it's an absolute fact because God's house is a unique house. There is no other house like it. Somebody said, well, there's none like the White House either. Yeah, but some can be built like the White House, but there can only be one house built like God's house, and it is because God is the architect that is building that house. He is the living stone that's making lively stones into a spiritual house that will be a habitation for God upon this earth. Now come on now and help me out a little bit. I said the structure of God's house. It's unique. There's not another one like it. Now stay right with me. May I say about the structure of this house that it has a sure foundation. It has an absolutely a sure foundation. The Bible said in Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Amen. He that believeth shall not make haste. This stone is a reliable stone. You can build your life on this foundation, on this stone. You can build a church on it. You can build your family on it. You can build a home on it. It is a sure, has a sure foundation. Amen. No doubt about it. I think some folks has got the idea today the church is going under. Church is not going under. And I'm going to tell you why it's not. Because it's setting on a sure foundation. Built upon the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, it's not going down. Praise God, it's going up. I'm just waiting on the trumpet to sound and fixing to lead out of this world to another world in the presence of God. Amen. Church is not going down. You build your family around the church, your family won't go down. Now you start laying out a church. Come on now. You start laying out the house of God, finding excuses to stay home. Amen. It won't be long till you'll get a little shaky. That house, your home will get a little shaky. But I'm going to tell you, if you build it on this stone, friend, she'll stand the floods. She'll stand the winds. She'll stand the test of time. This stone is a sure foundation, and if your house or your home is built upon it, it ain't going anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, it's not only a sure foundation. This structure is a, this stone is a sure foundation. But notice the things it says about this stone. I'm amazed. I've already mentioned it's a living stone. It's a living stone. He is alive. Thank God, I'm glad He got up out of the grave when He said He was going to. Christ is not dead. Christ is alive. Thanks be unto God. He is the resurrection and the life. That's right. It's a living stone. Can you imagine Peter talking about a house being built upon a foundation that has for it a cornerstone that has life in it? And the last time I looked, a cornerstone ran in both directions. God's house is running life in both directions. Hallelujah. That's right. And it's a living stone. It's got life in it. May I say, secondly, what the Bible says about it. It's a tried stone. There have been a lot of folks that's tried this stone long before you and I ever come around. Amen. Long time before Peter tried it. No wonder Isaiah said it's a tried stone. They were people on this stone a long time before Isaiah come around. That is to say, being tried, it is a proved stone. It's been proven. It will stand. It will hold you up. It is a proven, a tried stone. It's a living stone. I'm going to say thirdly, it's a precious stone. Thanks be unto God. That's what it said. It said unto them unbelievers, unto us that believe, He's precious.
Yes,
to that lost crowd, He's not very precious.
Precious.
Oh, how precious is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I know nothing any more precious in all this world than Jesus.
Yes.
You can have your houses and your land, your diamonds and your gold, but give me Jesus.
Amen.
He's the most precious person in all these universes that we're living in. He's the only life giver I know. He is the Savior, the King of Kings. Is anybody out there tonight? Hello. Hallelujah. Hi. Amen. Hello. He's precious. Was He not precious to you that wonderful day, wherever you might have been? I don't know where you were, but I can tell you where I was. 5 rows back in a little cinder block building. When Jesus came by where I was, and I realized just how precious that He really was. Realized that He was the only one that had the power. The only one that had the power to reach down into the depths of my soul and regenerate me by the grace of God and make me a brand new creature in Christ. Oh, He's precious. He can get the liquor bottle out of the drunkard. Amen. He can take the cussing out of the cusser. Amen. He can take the whoremonger out of the whoremonger. and the prostitute, now the prostitute. He can take you out of the mire and set you in the choir. Hallelujah to God. And put a song in your mouth. He can pull you up out of a horrible pit and put a song in your mouth. Even praise unto God. You know, it's a marvelous thing about God. I wonder how many people that we could all name tonight that was cursing one night and less than 12 hours later, they is praising God. Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that can be done." I do. You know why? I've tried that stone. And he's proven to me that he can. You guys go, "Oh, no." No, I start saying, "Ask my wife." Don't ask my wife. I don't even go, don't go back that far. Just take my word for it. I can remember where I was 12 hours before God saved me. I remember what I was doing 12 hours before God saved me. And he didn't seem very precious to me that night. Oh, but that next morning, when I realized the burden of all my sin had been rolled away, and God had forgiven me of all, A-double-L, all of my sin, not part of my sin, all of my sin, amen to God, had cleansed me of all unrighteousness. When I realized God had birthed me into the family of God and had given me an inheritance in the saints in life, and I realized that I had a mansion waiting on me over on the other side, I could lift up my voice and praise Him and say He's precious. Nobody else could do that. My mama couldn't do it. My papa couldn't do it. The preacher couldn't do it. But Jesus, He done it. He's the only one I know that can open up the eyes of the blind. He's the only one I know that can cleanse a leper from his leprosy. He's the only one I know that can heal the sick and raise the dead. Amen. He's precious. This stone that is this house is sitting on is a precious stone. Hallelujah. And can you imagine the weight that's on his shoulders? He is holding up every spiritual stone, every lively stone, from Adam right on down to present day. And brother, there's not a one I know that's fallen off the edge, and he's not dropped anybody. He's got the power to hold you up. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Thank God. It's a precious stone. But may I say also, to some it's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. He said there in verse number 8, he said he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now I'm not going to dabble on the last part of that verse. I'm going to let Brother Steve do that. Whereunto they were appointed. He can do that in Sunday school. Some of you finally caught it. But I can say one thing. That he is a stumbling stone to some folks. Amen. You know why he is? A lot of folks just cannot understand how salvation can be so simple. How grace can be so simple. They're like Naaman the leper. Naaman was told to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And he got angry at Elias. He got angry. Said, "I thought surely he'd come out and say something over me or strike his hand over me or tell me to do some great thing." Sounds like charismatics, don't it? They look for somebody to slay them in the spirit. They better be looking for the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Yes. But there's a lot of folks today got the idea that getting saved, the thunder's going to crash and the lightning's going to flare out in their soul or light up their soul. But I'm telling you, being saved is simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on the cross.
Yes,
that's all it is. Simply believing. Somebody said, how can I believe? Take my word for it. If you've ever fallen under old time Holy Ghost conviction, you won't have any problem believing, friend. If God ever hangs you out over hell like He did me on that Sunday morning, you won't have any problem believing.
Amen.
If He tells you, that's what you've got to do. He that believeth on the Son hath life.
Yes.
But he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life or have life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son
right.
of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you, salvation, something simple. A lot of folks want to make it hard. I used to get them down over an altar and some of them be on one side hollering, hold on! Somebody else on the other side be hollering, turn loose! Hold on! Turn loose! I've never seen hold on or turn loose either one in that book. Now, I've read through it a few times. I'm going to tell you what I have seen in it a lot of times. Believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's not hard. It's easy. Salvation is easy, but there's a lot of folks that stumble at the word. And it's become a stumbling block. And you'd be amazed at people that are in churches. I went to get my hair cut the other day. Some of you ain't even bragged on that yet. That made me mad. I ought to preach on something mean. But I got my hair cut. And I'm sitting there and that old boy cut my hair. He calls me Brother Gary. Another fellow in there called me, Justin called me Brother Hall. The rest of them fellas, Robert called me Gary. The other fellow back there, he don't want to call me nothing. But I was sitting there in that old boy's chair, and he likes that Kodiak. I seen it laying over there. He likes that Kodiak. And I said, I tell you what I want. I want a haircut so good that my church will give me a raise Sunday morning. I'm just trying to strike up conversation. He said, buddy, you got her coming. He said, I'm going to make them believe you're the best preacher in the world. I said, if I am, you need to come and hear me preach. He said, my father-in-law goes up here to the Church of Christ. I said, I didn't ask you where your father-in-law goes, boy. I asked you, where do you go? He knew I had him caught. He didn't go anywhere.
Amen.
He didn't go anywhere. But you talk about a mixed up bunch. They won't tell you all you got to do is be baptized. That's all they are to it. Praise God if that's all there was to it. Son, I'm telling you, every time everybody down around one of the lakes every Sunday this summer, there'd have been a whole bunch of them saved down there. Taking off their clothes and laying around out there naked in front of one another out in the lake. There'd have been a lot of them down there being saved. But I'm telling you, it's not in the water fountain, ladies and gentlemen. It's in a fountain, all right, but it's not in a water fountain, thank God. It's in a fountain that's filled with a blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen now. Amen. I told these people the distance is worth the drive, and y'all are going to dry up and make me a liar. It's a stone of stumbling. People stumble over it because they stumble at the Word of God. May I say also, and I'll get on through with this in a minute, it's a rejected stone. Disallowed indeed of men. Now, I didn't notice this until just last night. But verse number 7, it says disallowed indeed. They're disallowed the stone which the builders disallowed. Now, I want to ask you, hey, I don't know much about building, but I know enough about, and I don't especially don't know much about building back in Peter's day. But I know enough to know about building back in Peter's day that every building that was built had a cornerstone in that building. All of them. And Peter said the stone which the builders disallowed. Now I'm going to tell you, not going to get much done at that rate. If you disallow, that is, if you reject the cornerstone, you ain't going to get much done that way. That's why a lot of folks not getting much done in their Christian life. They've rejected Christ. They've rejected the cornerstone. But us that believe is precious. But to that crowd, they've disallowed Him. The builders disallowed Him. And the other part said He's disallowed indeed by men. Rejected by men. Not only, hey, I'm going to tell you what I believe He's saying there. I believe He's saying He's not only rejected by men, Israel, but He's also rejected by the builders. He's rejected by those that hear the Word of God preached. I'll just leave it at that. Sat in the church all their life. Hear the gospel over and over and over again. And reject the stone. You won't get much done. Let me ask you a question now. What are you putting your faith in to go to heaven? Where's your confidence tonight? Who are you believing in? Or what are you believing in to get you to heaven? May I say, if you reject Him, and they did, you have rejected the only hope you've got, friend, to ever making it into the pearly gates of heaven. Come on now, somebody help me. Somebody help me. In the parable of the vineyard, the husbandman killed the son. And here's what the Lord of that vineyard. And here's what Jesus said about him. And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, will ground them to powder." Now come on, help me, somebody. I won't say secondly, not only a sure foundation, but it's got a spiritual framework. Say, what do you mean a spiritual framework? He said, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." Are built up. It's got a spiritual framework. And it's being built up with lively stone. You know, I looked up that word, built up, and it means the same word as edify, being built up. It means the same thing as what Jude said when Jude made this statement, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And so we're built up. This framework is being built up by lively stone. May I say, not only is it being built up, but it's bound up. We're bound up. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean bound up?" Ephesians 2, 20 and 21 said, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, that is by the Spirit, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." We're bound up. This house is bound together by the Spirit of the living God. We're bound up in Him. Now, I want to say thirdly, this framework has got a supernatural finish on it. You know, you build a house, you lay the foundation, you put the framework on it, then you put the finishing touches on it. And it's got a supernatural finish. Now, I thought about the resurrection. I thought how we're sown. The resurrection, we're sown an incorruptible seed and we're raised an incorruptible seed. Oh, what a finish that God's going to put on this house of His someday. Come on now. You're all going to make me mad. I'm already about half ticked. Get back here and find out if I can find a tickie. Gotcha. I found one spot back there you missed. You're fired. I got to try to get you all to smile or do something. You're making it terribly. rough on Brother Hall tonight. And I'm trying to be good to you.
Amen.
And Brother Doug, believe me, I'm trying to be good. Supernatural finish. I'll never forget when Miss Hall and I and the ladies that helped put the last little bit of paint on that house of ours. And we stood and looked at it and said, well, it ain't quite finished, but to us, it's finished. And we started moving into that house. After all that work, there had to be a foundation. There had to be framework. And I'll tell you, those rafters and those floor joists and the floor and all that, they had to be bound together. They had to be nailed together. But oh, when that last roller of paint went on that house, and we said, it's done. What a finish. Now I'm telling you, he's putting a supernatural, he's going to put a supernatural finish on this house. By the way, folks, we're looking at the roughed in product right now. But one of these days, he's going to put the finishing touches on this crowd. And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about something beautiful. When we come, when this butterfly comes rolling out of this cocoon I'm in, and when your little butterfly comes out of that cocoon you're living in, and that cocoon that was as ugly, pardon me, as homemade sin, that beautiful butterfly comes out of there, you stand in awe and say, how can something that beautiful come out of something that ugly?
Right.
And there's coming a day, friend, when God, when we're going to stand in awe and people are going to say, how can something that beautiful come out of something that was that ugly? I don't know, but He knows, and He's the one that's adding the finishing touch when this dead, corruptible body puts on incorruption.
That's right.
And immortality in life. What a great God. Well, I've got to hurry on. Let me say there is this, mention the service of the house. Notice in verse number 5, he says, you're also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now, I don't want to bog down here, but I'm telling you, there is service to do around the house. In the old economy, I want you to listen carefully. In the old economy, the priesthood was divinely appointed by God. Right, Brother Wayne? Divinely appointed by God. To include the family of Aaron, who held the priesthood. But the family of Aaron came out of the tribe of Levi. And although the priest came out of the lineage of Aaron, and they took care of the work at the tabernacle as far as the sacrifices and as far as the work inside that tabernacle. But I'm telling you, the whole tribe of Levi was involved in the tearing down and setting up of that tabernacle. And there was always work to be done. There was always work to be done. So I said all that to say this. The only way that you could be in the priesthood was to be born into it.
Right.
No other way. You had to be born into the family of Aaron.
Amen.
Or born into the tribe of Levi. That's the only way. Now I'm telling you, the only way, the only people that can adequately do service around God's house are those that are born into the priesthood.
Amen.
In other words, I'm talking about being saved.
You
ought to be saved. That's right now. Come on now. You're birthed into this priest. We don't have an earthly priest today. Our great high priest has ascended back to the right hand of God. He entered in one time with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's seated now at the right hand of God. He is the only high priest that when he's finished his work, he set out.
Amen.
But you and I are believer priests. And the only way that you can become a believer priest is by birthright.
Amen.
You've got to be born again.
Yes.
You've got to be born into the family of God. That's the only way. And I'm going to tell you, that may be why there's not a whole lot of work going on around the church houses. Might not be too many folks saved that say they're saved. Them Levites couldn't wait to get down there and go to work. They enjoyed what they were doing. Come on now.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, the spiritual work at the house of God will be done by those that are saved. I asked my brother again the other day when I saw him. I said, Lord, tell me some more about them drone honeybees. He said, Hoss, what can I tell you? They're lazy. They don't work. They won't work. Now I'm telling you, that's the way it is with lost people in the church. They won't work.
Right.
See, you done got me mad now. But I'm telling you, folks that are saved by the grace of God will go about their work with a merry heart and a joyful spirit about them. They will look for things to do. You don't have to try to tell them things to do. They will look for something to do. That's God. You know why? Because it's just kind of something that's put in them. God just puts it into them. Amen. Oh, I see that help. Now, birthright. That birthright provides us access to God. Hebrews 10:19 said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That birthright has provided us access to God. And that's the only way any sinner is getting to God.
Amen.
Is through that birthright. As our high priest, Christ abides in the holy place, of which the earthly high priest could only go in and miss that once a year. But his ever presence there provides for us an open door anytime. If you don't get anything else I said all night, get a hold of that. Friend, we've got an open door to the throne room of God's wonderful grace. Because our high priest has already entered in before us. And his presence there has guaranteed us access unto God. Now I want to say in closing, the sacrifices of that house. Notice what it says also here in the Scripture. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I've just got three little points on this, and I don't think you're going to like any one of them. Everybody smile. Take one last deep breath. Those spiritual sacrifices are threefold. Did not the priest offer up sacrifices? Am I right on that, Brother Smith? If we are believer priests, if we've been to Calvary, if we're saved by the grace of God, we also will offer up spiritual sacrifices in a spiritual house that is built of lively stones that has gotten their life from a living stone who is the foundation of this house that it's built upon.
Amen.
Now, number one, we'll sacrifice our person.
Yes, sir.
Us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies,
yes, sir,
a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your unreasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. Our person. We are to sacrifice our person. I've never forgotten Brother Richard Rawls that night. He stood here in a missions conference years ago and talked about in the islands as a missionary. A foreign missionary went there and they was trying to take up an offering to build a little building with. Some of the people were bringing their oxen, some were bringing money, some were bringing this, some were bringing that. And there was a little boy, said the missionary, noticed, standing way over in the corner. And he just stood there with his little head down. Said he could tell that tears was running down his face. Said the missionary went to him and spoke to him in their language and said, "Son, what's the problem? Why are you crying?" And the little boy said, "I have nothing. I have nothing to sacrifice for my God." One man and his son give a set of oxen, the only set of oxen they had. Brother Rawls asked him, said the missionary asked him, said, "How on earth will you plow your ground?" And said the old man said, "Me and my boys done talked it over," and he said, "I'll hold the plow and he'll pull it. And we'll plow our fields that way." But this little boy said, "I have all the sacrifices being made, and I have nothing to sacrifice." Said the missionary, put his arm around him, said, "It'll be all right." Said, "God will work something out for you." He said, in a little while, people kept coming by and one thing or another. And said, a little while he noticed, and the little boy walked over and took the offering pan and took it off the table and set it down on the floor and just stepped up and stepped inside the offering plate. And said, the missionary come and said, "Son," said, "what are you doing standing in the offering plate?" He said, "I have nothing else to offer. So I want to give myself as a sacrifice to the work of God." I wonder how many folks in here tonight would really do that. Ladies and gentlemen, if we'd sacrifice our person, he said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." Now I'm telling you, if everybody in here tonight would sacrifice your person as a priest believer for Christ, we'd be amazed what could get done in this ministry. Come on now, somebody say amen. You know I'm right. But you know something? Selfish. We want self. We want to have it and have it our way at the same time. I've got this suit out tonight. It's kind of an odd looking suit. I don't know. I can't match colors. I walked over to my drawer and I pulled out four pair of socks. I walked in the closet where Miss Hall was at and I said, "Choose one." She pulled out one pair and I don't know for my life why I said it. I said, "She had it her way." I didn't know what color sock to put on. But I wonder how many of us have it our way. Rather than presenting our person to Christ as a sacrifice. I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. That's not a Sears Roebuck catalog. That's a King James 1611 Bible. And you can't even get people to church. May not be so gracious the next time. They fall on that thing. And this is going to get us, I know. Some that got some of you, this will get some of you. Our praises. Hebrews 13:15, the Bible said, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." How many folks jumped up tonight and give thanks to his name? And I said, anybody here want to thank God for anything? You know what Brother Gray told me the other night? He said, "Preacher, I don't mean to sound critical." And he said, "I've been coming over to your church a whole lot." And he said, "I'm on full God." He said, "There's some of them folk in there I ain't never heard testify. I ain't never heard them thank God for something." But I'm telling you, if you're a priest, if you are a priest in the spiritual house, you will offer the sacrifice of your person. And you will offer the sacrifice of praise. Somebody said, "I don't like it. I didn't ask you to like it. I really don't care whether you like it or whether you don't like it." I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. And thirdly, and this is going to finish it up. And before I ever even tell you what the word is, I'm going to read the verse, Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know what that word communicate means? It's real simple. It means to bless others with the blessings that we've been blessed with. In other words, folks, our person, our praises, and our possessions.
Amen, preacher.
Oh, somebody said, I just can't give. I'm just here to tell you, you can't afford not
That's
to
right.
give.
Amen.
Well, how much am I supposed to give? All God wants you to.
Amen.
Somebody thought I was going to say a tithe, didn't they? You ain't giving any. You have not given God anything until you get above the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's.
That's right.
It's His already. When you give above that tithe, you can say, I give God something.
Yes, sir.
But it ought not to just be a tithe and above the tithe. It ought to be, Lord, all that I have. All that I have. You know why? We ought to be that willing spirited, because all we have, He's given us. You have nothing of yourself, friend. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. You have nothing of your own. Somebody said, do you have a verse of Scripture? Another verse? Absolutely. Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus and said, don't you know that I can crucify you or I can set you free? And he said, you had no power at all unless it's given to you from above.
Amen.
And from that minute on, Pilate's legs began to shake, rattle, and roll a little bit. And he set himself. You know, in a way, I feel sorry for Pilate. He done everything that a man in his position could possibly do to free Jesus. But that bunch of Jews wasn't going to hear to it. They crucified him. They said, if you turn him loose, you're not a friend of Caesar. He couldn't stand it, withstand that. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything you've got, clothes on your back, the air in your lungs, the food on your table, the automobile that you're driving, the children sitting beside you.
Amen.
Whatever it may be, everything in your house, God gave that to you.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of like Moses was the richest man in all of the valley because he knew Jesus.
Yes.
What about it? Have we got any real priests in here tonight? Are you in that structure? Are you in that framework? Are you in that priesthood? Let's stand together.